You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this final week of Adventure in Faith. This is the last Sunday before Advent begins and the holidays commence, which is really hard to believe. Does it feel like this year has flown by? It really confounds my thinking mind how that is even possible. However, it is. Here it is. Reality is saying, here it is. So welcome to this final week of Adventure in Faith, where we have been focusing on community and our own spiritual practice and our commitment to that spiritual practice, both in our own personal life and our commitment to our community's spiritual life. So this is an opportunity for this last Sunday to really experience that. And we're actually, our service is going to be slightly different than normal, but a little more normal, especially than last week, where we dedicated our entire service to setting of our spiritual intentions and commitments for the coming year. We'll be focusing on our community. We'll be receiving our people into membership and rededicating membership, which is really a moment of initiation and renewal for our entire community, as well as the people that will be coming forward. We'll also be working with a little bit more of Locke Kelly's book, especially the last chapter, and really just doing a recap of what we have been walking through these last 7 and 8 weeks. So it's going to be a beautiful day. And as we begin, I'd like to once again turn to our affirmations. And the affirmations for this week are a compilation of almost all of our affirmations from each of the weeks. So you'll see these are the themes that we've been working with over the course of these last 7 weeks. So let us say together our affirmations for this week. Together, we are dancing stillness. I am home while returning home. I am glimpsing all the way home. I am directly experiencing another way of knowing. I am understanding mind. I am embodied, open-hearted awareness. I am living from being. And so I invite you to take a moment and close your eyes as we begin our service with prayer and really an invocation. And so in this consciousness of living from being, dancing stillness, I invite you to take this moment to set an intention that our prayer, our time together, is not only for our own practice, but for the practice and for the consciousness of the world. In the face of darkness, we see light. In the face of cruelty, we stand for love. There is a higher truth that in this moment, in our lives, we stand in that power, and make a commitment to that. And so, beloved one, in this moment, we shift into stillness. This quiet stillness leads my awareness to the breath. We breathe in, we breathe out, in, out. We are aware of a unifying sacredness. In the stillness, in our breath, in our awareness, we shift into freedom, oneness. And so it is. Amen. You know, I've said it many times now, and it either was the Dalai Lama, but it might have been Thich Nhat Hanh, who says the next Buddha is the Sangha. The next enlightened teacher is the spiritual community. And that's really important to remember, and especially an age where you can tune into a variety of different master courses and spiritual teachers online and on the television and really feel like you're getting some good information. That pretty much is where it kind of lands, is in the theoretical. I remember telling my mom, I was really young, and you know, we would have these lovely conversations. And I remember at a very young age saying, you know, I don't think that spirituality and is meant to be lived in a cave. For most of us, I mean, it's pretty easy to live in a cave, live in isolation of sorts, seeming isolation. Now, that's not to diminish the holy ones who go off and do deep, deep spiritual work. That's a different thing. But a lot of us use spirituality to hide behind as a way of, well, I'll just have my own little practice and that will be fine. It's all just for me. But there's a disconnect there, because even the establishment of the Christian communities were about communities, and a lot of Paul's writings were about the churches being aspects of the body of Christ. We are aspects of the body of Christ, and what we were holding today as spiritual baptism is a recognition of that we are each a part of this sacred community. We see each other's true colors, and that's really important, especially in those times of forgetting. Our prayer chaplains, our contemplative ministries, our opportunities to come apart in the silence and to do spiritual study, to serve. These are all really critical aspects of our practice that we've been focusing on, particularly over these last 7 weeks. And we'll be moving into demonstrating in new ways in the coming year, which I'm really excited about. There's some really cool things that are on the horizon for us. And this book that we've been working with, this material, we had a board meeting on Thursday night, and I invited the board to share what have been the joys and what have been the challenges of Adventure in Faith this year. And I was the last one to go, and no one, it was so cute, no one said one of the challenges was the material. So I said it. Because I know for some of us, and even if it's been a good challenge, it's been challenging. And that's okay. It's okay to own what is. But it's been a good challenge because it's really, I think, invited us, and I've seen it invite us and invite me into what I've been touching into, but this is giving words and especially practices around how to embody it. So I wanted to show a clip because this in and of itself holds a little bit of that movement from some of the what we might have carried into this time and where I see us going. So this is from The Big Bang Theory. This is their latest episode. Yes, we get it from everywhere. So this is this group of people are helping at a soup or a kitchen or for Thanksgiving. So they're there early and they've been put on washing dishes duty. They're not even in the fun part of serving people. They're in the washing dishes part. So here you go.
This reminds me of high school.
You worked in a restaurant?
No, I was in India. It was humid and smelled funny.
All right, well, I think I'm getting into a groove here. This isn't so bad.
Well, only 5 hours and 40 minutes to go.
We've only been doing this 20 minutes?
You know, I read that washing dishes can be an excellent form of meditation. The key is that while washing the dishes, one should only be washing the dishes.
Just because you have that accent doesn't mean what you say isn't stupid.
No, seriously, it's about being present in the moment, focusing on the feeling of the warm water, the smell of the detergent, the sound of the dishes squeaking and following your own breath. It's about simply being.
Huh. Okay. I'll try it.
I need 3 people out front.
Me! Out here.
No fair! I was meditating!
Kind of a cool clip, huh? I saw that one. Woo! So what is the subtle implication there? No fair, I was meditating. What's the subtle implication? It's so close, we sometimes don't even see. In the head, yeah, maybe. But meditation takes us out of reality. So he missed an opportunity to do what he really wanted to do because he was off meditating. Has anyone ever had that thought floating through? What good does it do? Or I'll miss out on something. I won't be totally keyed in for my opportunity to do what I really want. So what we've been working with is something that includes what they were doing, but also opens into a whole new field of feeling into the what Locke Kelly calls awake awareness that wouldn't stop or stint or take him out of what is presenting itself in the moment, what is alive. And these are the glimpse practices that we've been doing, of unhooking from thought alone as our reality. It was so cute. And, you know, I'm seeing it in a totally different way. Some of these old, these ways that I used to see what, you know, meditation was. And meditation coming apart from the world is still really important. And that's not something that we can do as a sustained reality, right? We have jobs we need to attend to. These practices let us and give us the capacity to practice small glimpses, right? These peeks into another reality that eventually become a sustained reality. So I was up in San Francisco 2 weekends ago for my final Evolutionary Collective weekend. And I was asked to do a ceremony for us as a way of saying, of just honoring what this last year has meant. There was a whole group of us that went up from Unity of Tustin, and then there was a whole other group that was up in San Francisco for this. And so I led something, and there was a moment of confusion of should I say something more or not. And I started to say the words, I think. And immediately someone said, don't think. And I went, oh my gosh, that is so something I would have said before doing this work. Because can you hear that don't think? Now, if I had said I feel, it probably would have been fine. But don't think. So what I've loved about this work and what I challenge each of us to do in this coming year, particularly, is to shift your relationship with what thinking can represent and hold for us. That it is a really important tool to be able to think. Right? The question is, where is your orientation? If your orientation is in the I am, this body of Christ, this awakening field of potential, what he calls dancing stillness. I love that because it's a paradox. It's a polarity, right? There's dancing, there's movement, there's dynamism, but there's also this deep peace and stillness. It's not one or the other. It's both. What he talks about in this last chapter and a little bit of the previous chapter, I believe it's 13 and 14, is he talks about living from being and doing from being, that they're not separate, that meditation won't take you out of reality. It actually immerses us deeper into reality. And one of the things that I was really particularly keyed in on that I loved was that he talks about, it's not that you don't feel fear anymore. And actually, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this in her book as well, Big Magic. I've been reading a lot. Traveling makes me read more. It's really interesting because you're on a plane. So this idea that you can feel fear, but you're in a different relationship with it. It's information now. It's not an inhibitor. It's the difference between being identified with your ego and getting input from the field. So I was aware, I was one of my other, San Francisco and then Unity Village in Kansas, in Missouri, really. I was, this last week, it was a big travel week. Or the previous week. So one of the things I was there for, Unity, the board that I serve on, and I served on for this last year as a non-voting member. I think it's called ex officio. Very official title for something that is really, I had no official capacity. So I was once again interviewing, and this is not an easy, fun process. It's not a fun process. I sent my resume in, you answer a bunch of questions, and then you sit kind of in front of the firing squad answering these questions for, you know, why you would be a good board member candidate. And we had 9 interviews this last time. So I was aware that I could potentially not be voted in as a full member. And I was okay with that, but I was a little attached. But what I had been so keyed in on, it was really interesting, was learning about everyone else. I forgot that I was up for election too. So I come tootling in that morning and I go, okay, first up is so-and-so, and then this is, and then I saw my name. I was like, oh yeah, I need to be prepared to answer questions, especially of what I had written over a month ago. I forget what I wrote over a month ago. And it was really interesting, and I took a moment, and this is where he talks about, instead of fear ruling you, there was this moment of input, of information, of, oh, I need to click into another reality here that is the reality of I need to talk to what I answered in my questions. But I didn't let that throw me. Because the orientation was to the awake awareness around me, to the field that knows all of the answers from which I spoke from when I wrote those answers. And so the fear of, or the information, or the panic of, oh my gosh, I need to be able to talk to these questions, was information, not a derailing, game-changing, I'm nervous and I'm not going to be able to do it, and all of those kind of those mind things, those stories that can start to develop. Can you feel the difference? And hopefully you've been experiencing this too, because when your orientation is out of your thoughts as your primary reality, you don't get derailed by them in the same way. There's this field that you're stepping into from a whole other place of beingness. And so when I stepped into that time of being interviewed, I felt completely connected. And I didn't have to step outside or do anything. I didn't have to disconnect from the world. I was completely engaged, and I was simultaneously completely open and permeable. And I did well enough to be elected, so which is really exciting. So now I'm an official board member. I have a 3-year term. And one of the perks is that even though, because I'm serving at such a level, that you know they pay for my travel back there. So it really is a way that we are, as a community, serving our greater unity community as well. But it really is an honor to serve at that level of the board. It's a $25 million budget that we work with, and 300-plus employees, and we're doing a CEO search that I'm on that search committee now because I'm an official member. So I've said yes to a lot. And one of the things that I'd like to remind everyone is that when you say yes, and I've really been sitting with this as well, when you say yes, there is an equal level of discernment that has to come into that. We've been talking and promoting a lot of yes. What I've been really keyed in on is the discernment process too, and I was reminded of Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity. He talks about zeal as a power. This, which to me, zeal is about an unbridled yes. There's just energy going everywhere. And what he talks about is that zeal must be paired with what he calls righteous judgment, or what we have modernized to say discernment. Zeal unchecked can be a wildfire burning out and then eventually fizzling out. So it must also come with discernment. So there's this capacity for both. And the way that Locke Kelly talks about it is that there's love and wisdom. There's both. So in this coming year, as a community, we're going to be really stepping into another level of engagement. I have been the senior minister now for 4 full years, and it feels here, yeah. It feels like we're just beginning. These last 4 years have been 3.5, have been about transition and really laying the foundation and getting to know each other at a different level. Even though we've always known each other, it's at a different level now. And over this next year, there's going to be several things that we're going to be introducing. We're going to be introducing as interspiritual service on Sunday nights. Our beloved Gail Hamley, her last day will be on December 27th. So we will be experiencing Unity of Tustin without Gail. And so we'll be celebrating her before that. But it will be different. And in the process, and this is one of the teases that I did in the email, is that we will be bringing in, calling forward a new associate minister. This will be the first minister from the outside we have had in over 20 years. So this is a big thing for us. And I want to acknowledge that just like, you know, there was this moment of like fear of information of I need to kind of click into a new level because I was entering into the unknown, there is a level of us entering into the unknown together with this process. Who is going to be called forward? This will be something that we go through slowly and yet with intention. The job will be posted later today on our website, and it will be an opportunity for Unity ministers to come forward and say, "Here I am." There'll be a full description, and I asked Gail to write a prayer, a blessing for this process that we're entering into, so that we enter into it consciously. Unity was founded in prayer, and prayer is our foundation in everything. So the prayer that she offered and that I just loved, immediately wrote back, and she said, "I love it." And I invite you to hold with me, because this person will be overseeing our pastoral ministry. And actually, we've been doing a lot of work to expand that even. So this person will be a critical piece, a role holder for that, really that pastoral, that prayer consciousness here. So as a community, in this spirit of initiation, beloved oneness, creator of all that is, we sit in communion with divine authority to call forth the perfect soul to fulfill their calling as Unity of Tustin's associate minister. Our love and attention draws them forth now. Thank you for fulfilling this sacred appointment. In deepest gratitude, we say, Amen. And so we feel that energy, that living energy of the soul that's coming forward to be a part of our ministerial team, to be a part of our community. Amen. So some big things on the horizon, some really important things, and some opportunities for us all to continue to practice. So in this next week, I encourage you to really start to feel into, even in a deeper way, this field of awake awareness, this field of infinite potential, spaciousness, that is always present. And from that, see the divine in you and the divine in everything that's around you. There's a saying, Namaste. The Christ, the soul, the beloved in me bows to the beloved in you. Live that. And we've come to the time of saying our affirmations one more time. So let's say those together. Together. We are dancing stillness. I am home while returning home. I am glimpsing all the way home. I am directly experiencing another way of knowing. I am understanding mind. I am embodied, open-hearted awareness. I am living from being. And so for this last Sunday, I invite you to really feel the joy of that commitment to living these affirmations, these principles, and preparing your love offering for today and for this time. We're entering into the season of gratitude, of blessings, of focusing on what we are grateful for. As we give, so shall we receive. And so I invite from that open heart for you to hold your gift in your hand as we say together the love offering blessing. Together, divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.